Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And I would like to introduce you to our new guest. His name is James Ballard. He is the author of What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. Jim is a management consultant, a leadership trainer, a motivational speaker, and a consulting partner with the Ken Blanchard Companies. He has collaborated with Ken on books such as Everyone's a Coach, Managing by Values, Mission Possible, There's Still Time, and the most recent book that he did with Ken called The Heart of a Leader. Jim Ballard, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be aboard.
It's good to have you with us. And I really like your book. My audience knows that I try to make sure that we get our tanks refilled as often as possible on learning how to make sure that we don't get our priorities upside down, that we focus on nurturing the spirit, nurturing this earthly vessel that we drive around in all the time, and making sure that even as important as the bottom line is to us in our lives, our spirits need to be nurtured and making sure that we don't get upside down in our priorities. And that's what I liked about your book. The book is called What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, and Change Your Life. What I'd like for you to do first, Jim, is tell us a little bit about why you decided to write this book.
Well, I started on this book decades ago, actually, when I started running. That was about 25 years ago I started running, never competitively. Kind of got hooked on distance running. But it can be very boring. And people who are running today, I don't mean that literally, but metaphorically, everybody's rushing about. They kind of know that pace can be very wearing, mm-hmm. and stressful, and anxious. So that's true of runners, too. And I started making up some games to kind of calm my mind. And I noticed right away that things changed for me, so I kind of stayed with it. Came up with a whole series of little mind games that I call recipes for the soul, S-O-L-E, and yet it does get to that inner part of us, so it's kind of a play on words. The first one that I discovered was when I was running along and pretended that it wasn't me that was running, it was my breath that was pulling me forward.
Mm-hmm.
And right away I noticed that the stress and the discomfort and the worry and when is this going to be over, all that stuff kind of went away. And I was having my first experience of what I've come to call being run. And that is kind of finding that balance point between making things happen and letting things happen.
You call that being run?
Being run.
Okay.
Actually, I think all of us are being run without knowing it. I don't think we think about beating our hearts or even about breathing, although we can control that part. But our thoughts pretty much just come to us. We don't think them. They just kind of come through us. And all of the systems of the body are going on pretty much beneath consciousness. So in a sense, the life force, or whatever you want to call it, is running us. And yet people can stress themselves out pretty badly these days trying to stay in control of everything. I don't think we're in control at all. And it's trying to be there or thinking that we should be there that exhausts us and beats us up. So I'm very much of a mind to use techniques to calm the mind. Doesn't mean we can't move fast or handle a lot of things at once. But the title of the book, What's the Rush? I don't define rushing as moving fast, but as a state of mind in which we can't really be with what we're doing because we're worried about what didn't get done or we're worried about what's ahead of us.
Talk to us about dream running.
Well, all of us are dream running in a way.
Tell us what that is.
The little games that I just described are in one sense dream running because as you're running along or as you're going through a stressful day, if you pretend that that you're breathing yourself forward or that there's an invisible line pulling you through a tough meeting or there's a giant hand pushing you through a bunch of tasks and you kind of lay back against that and let it do you, that's the concept as a technique, dream running. But what I mean when I say we're all dream running is that each of us is in a dream, in a sense, of his or her own reality. I see things the way I see them, and you see the things the way you do, because we are not just on the same you know, having the same experience or common experience, but we bring to our perceiving all of our beliefs and attitudes and expectations. And in a way, we don't know what we're seeing with. We just focus on what we're seeing.
Okay, now, let me ask you this question. You said a minute ago that you're in a meeting and you're trying to get through this meeting. How do you get to the point in this state of mind that you're helping us to understand, where it doesn't take over your consciousness? Because if you're thinking about these techniques that you're talking about, then you're not paying attention to the meeting.
Well, the techniques that I'm talking about are ways to train your mind to be in that meeting and stay in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what I made up on the running path, and over the years of practice, are a series of kind of fun games to train my mind to reframe a situation. By that I mean you don't change the facts of the situation, but you shift the way you see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody's talking in a meeting and you feel yourself becoming anxious and your mind is thinking up a rebuttal or an answer or that's not correct, and all of a sudden you've trained your mind to catch yourself doing that.
Yeah.
Suddenly you can stop that stuff and start listening to him and really hearing what he's saying rather than what you're saying about what he's saying. You know, that's mind control. That's that takes training.
Uh-huh.
That takes discipline. And yet the little games that I'm talking about, you can get some immediate success from those. I mean, all of us have had days, Jim, that we went through that seemed to be almost magical. They're sort of like an athlete playing in the zone. Meaning that you get a whole lot done. You come to the end of the day and you're not stressed out at all. You stayed on top of things and you were the calm in the center of the storm. And it almost seems like magic the way you did it. And my theory is that those days don't have to be random, that we mm-hmm. can program ourselves.
We can actually have some control and call on those.
That's right. That's right.
Very interesting. Plus, we're going to come back and talk to Jim Ballard in just a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break. Jim is the author of What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. He's got some more techniques that we're going to talk about that have helped me just in reading the book, and I know they'll help you. Stay with us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Dream running. Dream running is the practice of deliberately shifting attention away from the mind's accustomed ways of defining experience into another perspective, where the self appears to be not the cause, but the instrument of action. That's the definition of dream running, ladies and gentlemen. And the man who coined that phrase and that term is James Ballard. He's the author of What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. He's our special guest this hour and our new friend. Jim, that really meant a lot to me. I like this concept of dream running, and we're going to be peppering that concept, I'm sure, in our discussion as we go through the hour. One of the things in your book that I thought was interesting is something you call noetic practices. And did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
Okay. And noetic practices, the word noetic is Greek, and it refers to the scientific exploration of mind and consciousness as the root of human experience.
Right.
And you talk about three noetic practices. Can you talk to us about those, please?
Well, I found that I could divide the work that the book talks about doing on ourselves into three areas. One of them is we've already touched on, because we talked about dream running, and I mentioned that everybody is in the dream of his or her own attention. And because we're making that dream up, even if we maybe don't always know we are, we can change it. And changing it at will, or training ourselves to change the way we see things, is called reframing, usually in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So the really... all three noetic practices have to do with that basic skill of changing the way we see something. As soon as we do that, we change the way we feel about it. As soon as we do that, we change the way we respond to it. So, for instance, for a manager, Ken Blanchard's favorite phrase when people say, well, give me one thing that I could do to transform my organization, my business, he says, without hesitation, he always says, start catching people doing things right. Everybody,
I've heard that.
Everybody can see what that's about right away. And they can see that they haven't been doing it as consistently as they'd like to be doing it. But it really represents a shift in attention, in perspective, meaning that instead of noticing things that people do that you can criticize them for, you purposely go out, ignore those things, just maybe as an experiment, and start catching them doing things right, noticing what they do and bringing it to their attention. And attention is like, it's like fertilizer. It's a gift that we give people. And whatever we give attention to, it grows, you know. So we nurture that good behavior by doing that. That's an example of reframing. But back to dreaming the world, which is the first noetic practice, that's really waking up to the fact that we are dreaming and that we can start practicing seeing it differently. One of the ways that I think is most helpful, most useful in doing that is not doing what people today are calling hitting the ground running. That's where we get behind already in our day.
That's what I do.
Uh-huh.
See, it seems like that's what I do.
Yeah, well, sure. I think that one of the old phrase is the best defense is a good offense. And I think that that this is a practice that all of us can start, is entering our day, meaning that we when we wake up, we refuse negative thoughts or worries coming in as we're lying there or as we're getting up. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are just plagued by bad stuff when they open their eyes. And controlling that, teaching our minds, training our minds to think of good things. I mean, maybe it comes to putting inspirational literature or the scriptures or a journal next to the bed so that immediately you reach for that and you read a good thought for the day. But entering your day has to do with, checking in with the stage manager before you go out there on stage. Maybe it means taking a run or a walk and using some of the recipes. Maybe it means praying. Maybe it means, but it's getting quiet and in solitude. Joseph Campbell called it sacred space, that all of us need sacred space. Meaning that we forget what's in the newspapers, we forget who owes us money, we forget who our friends are, and we get calm and we say, what am I really up to? What's my life about?
A couple of the things that I try to do is pay attention to the world around me and not miss the world as it goes by, not get so focused on me and my stuff and what I want, and try to focus on the things and the people around me and what they're doing. And what that does is that sort of helps me to not be so self-centered. And the more self-centered you become, I think that's when you get upside down in your priorities.
That's great, Jim.
Stand by, folks. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get Jim Ballard to talk to us about something he calls grok. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 29 After. Welcome back. It's 33 After. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Jim Ballard is our special guest and our new friend this hour. He's the author of What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. And, Jim, I want to read something to the audience that is in your book. It's on page 53. It's a quote from Albert Einstein, and I like it a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. Small is the number of them that see with their own eyes and feel with their own hearts, but it is their strength that will decide whether the human race will relapse into the state of stupor which a deluded multitude appears today to regard as their ideal. I like that a lot.
It's pretty strong.
It's strong. That is so strong. And it just, you know, the reason that it hit me, the reason that I like that phrase is I talk about something that I call, or a condition that I call small minds. And that's what he's talking about. And when he says small, folks, he's talking about there's not many people who don't have small minds. And Albert Einstein was. But there's so many people out there who have small minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're the people who aren't capable of doing what I said earlier, and that is looking at the world around them, paying attention to the person who's waiting on you at the restaurant, finding out their name, saying their name to them, giving them a chance to smile at you, and looking around and seeing other people as they live their life, and seeing, you know, just observing that to let you know that you're not the only person on the face of the earth. And Ken, that helps me to have balance.
Well, you know, Jim, when you're scared, it's hard to be there.
Yeah.
Hard to be really with yourself. And you almost said a condition that I call little think
mm-hmm.
in the book.
Yes.
And when you're in little think, you feel the scarcity of time. The world seems so real, the world of space and time, that you can't do anything about seeing it or making it different. And you feel like a victim of it all. So you're running to kind of stay ahead of the freight train that's bearing down on you, of all the things you got to do, all the balls in the air, all the too much on your plate. You're never ahead. You're always behind. You're answering your beeper. You're checking your voicemail. And, you know, it's piling up and piling up. And so many people live that way today that they're the people that the book is aimed at, harried, running people, you know.
It's a form of
slavery. We don't realize that we can shift all that by changing our minds.
If you want to hit somebody between the eyes who's like that, tell them that they're living a form of slavery. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is.
It is.
Talk to us about the three noetic practices, folks, that Jim has told us about, or two of them he's told us about. One is dreaming the world, the other is reframing experience, and the third one is playing with time. Talk to us about playing with time, Jim.
Well, I like the phrase playing with time. There's so many things that aren't run by the clock. For instance, our values, our relationships, the dreams and the aspirations and the ideals that we carry within us don't have anything to do with clock time. And a fellow who recently wrote a book called Einstein's Dreams uses the term, talks about two forms of time that all of us really know about. One of them is clock time, and the other one is body time. I ask people sometimes in seminars to take some time and think about, when does time go away for you? When are you so into what you're doing that you have no concept of the time, and if somebody mentioned it to you, you'd almost laugh? Mm-hmm. You have no idea about push to get this done, or you're not attached to the outcome of it. So if somebody came by and said, "How much are you being paid for doing this?" you would also smile. That is the way to live.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask people to kind of unmask the clock. To think, well, what is this thing really with this face on the wall? And what it is a repeating machine. It just means that it's sort of like a metronome. Somebody made it up so that we could have agreements about dividing experience into little sections called, you know, minutes and seconds and hours. And then pretty soon, these days, for a lot of people, that becomes their taskmaster.
Yeah, well, you're actually linked to it. You actually become one of the cogs in behind the face, as you say.
Yeah.
And as it clicks and turns and whirls, you react.
So I think, you know, to get out of that slavery, we have to have anchors within us. There aren't any anchors out there anymore. You know, things you can't count on things the way maybe even you used to. Although probably that was an illusion too. You have to go within and say, what do I really stand for? What are my values? Those are some of the anchors. And then if you don't have a purpose, a statement of purpose in your life, get one. I mean, take some time and say, when I come to the end of this, what do I really want to look back and see that it was all about for me? And make that up ahead of time so that every day or every night when you lie in bed, you can think back over the day and link certain things that you did, certain events and relationships to that purpose.
One of the things that I like to do is recognize my blessings, and I know that sounds trite to some people, but what it helps me do is whenever the world closes in on me, when in my business something happens and I think it can't get any worse than this, and I'm just so upset and distressed about it, I sit back, take a deep breath, and try to get a smile on my face as I think about the things that are most precious to me in life, and then I say, praise God from whom all blessings flow, and these other problems seem very, very small after that.
Well, Jim, you're a reframer.
All right, I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me. I'm going to ask you about that in a minute, and I promise you we're going to talk about what Grok is when we come back after these messages. The first thing we're going to talk about is Grok. 39 After, stay with us. I'll be right back with Jim Ballard. We are back. Thank you for joining us. It's 44 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our special guest is a guy whose name I like a lot. His name is Jim Ballard. And he's the author of What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. And he's become our new friend. And Jim, I would like for you to tell our audience where they can get your book.
Well, I always say it's in the stores, but then some of them I walk in and there's one copy or none.
Yeah.
Any store can order it for you. It's by Broadway, published by Broadway Books, which just merged with Bantam. This is a crazy industry, this book stuff.
Yeah.
But Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com is a quick, easy, and inexpensive way to get it. Those folks are very good about getting books fast to you and at a discount.
And there's an outstanding foreword in here, folks, by Ken Blanchard, no less than Ken Blanchard. And Jim and Ken are good friends. They go back a long way in their relationship. Check this book out, folks. As you know, I only let people, only let authors on the show to talk about their book who have books that I feel are worthy of your time and your money, and this one qualifies. I recommend you check it out. If you're looking for some balance in your life, if you're trying to figure out how to get out of the rat race a little bit, at least to be able to step out of the rat race whenever it's necessary before you actually become consumed, then I think you'll like this book. I know you will, and there's some great things in here. One of the things I like about the architecture of the book, Jim, is that it's not necessary to read it from cover to cover to get something out of it. There are a lot of points and a lot of inspirations in this book. There are a lot of things that will hit you that will hit someone in my audience differently maybe than me, and they can mark that section and go back to it over and over again. So, folks, check it out. Talk to us, Jim, about grok. Now, that sounds like either, as you said, a breakfast cereal. It sounds like an old world ale or something.
Well, it comes from, I didn't make up the word, Jim. It comes from an old science fiction story, a real classic by Robert Heinlein that you may remember from the 60s called Stranger in a Strange Land. It was a real hit back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story of a human being that's raised on Mars and then brought back to Earth. And because he was raised by Martians, he has extraordinary powers. And the one that he demonstrates again and again is called grokking. Well, I've decided to say that the grokking isn't a Martian skill. It's something that we can all do. It really essentially means total reliance on intuition. These days, business leaders and busy people can't take the time that they used to take to research, to learn things in a straight line, in a rational, linear fashion. We've got to get stuff all at once. We've got to grok it. And when you grok, you make more time. You get outside of time. You get up above your life. And all of us have been there. Athletes talk about being in the zone and playing out of their head.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that they seem to have all the time in the world to execute a maneuver, to bring a play off, and to do it perfectly and effortlessly. So grokking is fun. It's available to us, but it's like a muscle we haven't trained. It's the goal of dream running.
How do we do that?
Well, I suggest that we get out on the walking or running path and practice some of these noetic practices.
When you talk about, folks, when he says dream running, this is not just, he's talking about actually the physical thing. You're talking about actually incorporating exercise into this, aren't you?
Yes, I am. But it's not necessary that you do that. A lot of people even tell me that they start dream running by reading the book. They get into the kind of the mentality that being run is all about.
Right.
Because we all... It's not a new thing. There's a part of us, before I talked about body time, we've all been kids. We've all had days when we just went out into the dream of our life. If our mother said, you know, where are you going? We couldn't answer her or what are you going to do today? We couldn't say because we were going out there to find out. And when we came home, when she said, so what did you do today? It's an adult question. It's kind of like your mind has to do a U-turn there because you're so in the moment as a kid. And all of us came from that. We know how to do that. But in the rush and stress and hurry of life, we've kind of lost that, and the muscle is kind of flabby and untrained.
All right, let me throw this out at you. I'm a small business person. I am undercapitalized. I have got an employee has just left. I lost a customer, and my bank has just called and said I need to cover some checks at the bank. I don't know what in the world. How am I going to – how I've got to deal with these problems, and it's just about to consume me, but I need some help calming myself. I need to try to figure out how to deal with this mentally.
Get apart. Spend some time breathing. Do hello, goodbye breathing. That's what I tell people. Well, you observe your breathing, you know, sit down, relax, let your shoulders down, close your eyes, and focus on your breathing. If any thoughts come in, bring them back to the breathing. And hear a pleasant voice saying hello every time you in-breathe and goodbye every time you out-breathe. That's going to focus you. But I would say in the long term, don't hit the ground running. You remember that?
Yeah.
Enter your day so that you're fortified against those times, and it's not so hard to get yourself back. But I would say that you mentioned something, Jim, earlier that helped me to focus on this. You said that even when things are going bad, you count your blessings.
Yes.
So I think the useful question is not why does this happen to me, but why is this in my life right now? What am I supposed to learn from this? It's a warrior question. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
But we take ourselves on rather than the world.
Stand by, Jim. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Jim Ballard. We're back. It's 54 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. James Ballard, ladies and gentlemen, is our special guest and our new friend. He's the author of What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. It's all about dream running. And folks, I recommend it to you. It's available in bookstores. It's available online. It's what's the price on it?
$20. $20. It's $14.
And folks, it's the book that will keep on giving. You will read it a lot. You'll read parts of it a lot if you buy it. You'll want to keep it handy. One of the things that I want to talk about, Jim, as we wrap up the hour, is something in here that you call make uncertainty your friend. What do you mean by that?
I mean, I've talked about staying in the moment, but I mean that if we train ourselves in these noetic practices, and in other words, not to use the jargon, if we train ourselves to be with ourselves in the moment, to be in control, to be above, then whatever happens when the rugs come out of change from under us, then we're not thrown by them. In other words, we can make what happens be what should happen. And the mantra becomes, no matter what happens, becomes just what I wanted, you know, so that we're always there, we're always ready.
Do your worst, huh?
Yeah, I'm talking about a work team in the book that is about to finish a project, and the boss comes out and says, we got to change everything. And they start hollering and slapping each other on the back because they know that it's about customer service. And if that wasn't what they had planned wasn't going to do it, they're not attached to it.
Right.
They're values driven.
Yeah. All right, that's well said. Talk to us about another comment you make in the book. Experience is not what happens to us. It's what we do with what happens to us.
Well, it just is. You know, we're not all having the same experience. We're inside looking out, and we're making it up the way we see it. And because we are, and if we can wake up to the fact that we are, if, for instance, we're upset and we stop and we say, you know what, this is just the way I'm seeing this, then we can change it. And otherwise, we're kind of like the navigator and the pilot flying in a fog at night, and the pilot says, what's our position? And the guy says, we're hopelessly lost and off course.
Mm-hmm.
And but I get good news and bad news. And the guy says, well, that's the bad news. What's the good news? And he says, we're making good time. And so a lot of people are making good time, but they're hopelessly lost.
And they're going in the wrong direction. That's
right. It isn't about time. It isn't about how much we get done. It isn't about, you know, achieving and accomplishing. It's what is the quality with which you're seeing this, experiencing it, and doing it. So that's the sense in which experience is not what happens to us. Anything can be happening to us. It's what we do with it that counts.
One thing, folks, if you're having trouble getting into some of the things that we're talking about, there's an old saying that we say in business when things get really bad, Jim. It's called, well, they can't eat me. You know, in other words, it's not going to get that bad.
Uh-huh.
And
unless
so
you're among cannibals.
Start out there. Well, they can't eat me, and then take that and go to some of the things that Jim talks about in his book. Uh-huh. Jim, we've got 30 seconds. Would you make a closing comment for us, please?
Your most important relationship is the one you have with yourself. If that's not working, fix it. One of the ways is to enter your day. Get down with yourself. Rabbi Kushner, who wrote When Bad Things Happen to Good People, says, I've been at the bedside of a lot of dying people, but I've never heard anybody say, I wish I'd gone to the office more.
Yeah.
Figure out what it's all about for yourself. This is just like any old grandfather told you, you know, to do, but we all need to be taken back to those basic things about quality, living today as if it's my last. Let me be happy. Let me make other people happy. Let me be focused. Let me get above it all.
Well said, Jim. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the voice and the vision of James Ballard. He's the author of What's the Rush? Step Out of the Race, Free Your Mind, Change Your Life. It's available in bookstores. Good job, Jim. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks so much.
I enjoyed it. See you later. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.